Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, as we get ready for Sunday Night Football, Packers Giants in week five at Lambeau Field, the topic of the week, you might say, is Giants receiver Odell Beckham Jr. You almost can't look at a media outlet out of New York City and not see a headline involving OBJ for his emotional outbursts, some of his comments, things that have happened on the field or said to reporters in the locker room, you name it. And we heard from the Packers on Wednesday, both head coach Mike McCarthy and some of the defensive backs will be charged with guarding Beckham on Sunday night. And it sure sounds like the Packers are not interested in getting into the emotional mind game kind of stuff. They're not gonna play this game that way.
No, they're not, Mike. And one of the reasons why, right now, Odell Beckham Jr. on pace for 88 catches, 1,212 receiving yards this year. Hasn't had a touchdown yet, so maybe that's some point of contention or whatever. But he's still having a very productive season. It's not like this guy's been completely lost in the Giants' offense in terms of nobody looking towards him. He's still a very volatile threat on the field. And first and foremost, I thought Mike McCarthy really set the tone with that this week when he first addressed the media. That's what it's about. It's about how he fits into this offense, how he fits into the scheme, and how that player's performing and what the Packers have to do to stop him. All the other distractions, all the other whatever you want to call them, it's just noise. And the biggest key for the Packers right now is when Beckham steps on the field, it's not going to be about what was said or what the issues are. It's going to be about that 60 minutes and trying to make a big impact.
Yeah, and I think you can get hung up on all of his emotional issues and everything else that he lets get out of control sometimes, let's be honest. But this is a player who was just held to a career low, I believe it was 23 receiving yards right on Monday night by that very stout Minnesota defense. And you have to believe that a player of his caliber, of this talent, is going to be as mentally focused and determined as possible, because statistically, that's not the impact he's used to having. You mentioned the pace that he's on. The first three games of the season for the Giants, he was extremely productive. He sort of had this one-off game, and then his comments and everything, you know, get blown up into a huge story. But this is a guy to be reckoned with, and the Packers, to their credit, are focused on the film. They're focused on the scheme, the routes that are being run, and how they're going to handle this entire Giants receiving core, which isn't just Beckham, but also Victor Cruz and rookie Sterling Shepard.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons there's probably such a question about this right now is it's the first time that Beckham's really encountered any type of adversity in his NFL career at this point. I mean, 25 touchdowns in his first two seasons, over 1,300 receiving yards, 90 catches in both of those campaigns. So he's become just this budding star in the league. I mean, he's already been on a Madden video game cover. So this is a talent, and this is a guy that I think everyone has to keep an eye on. And certainly when you're coming off a performance like that against Minnesota, the first thing he's going to want to do as a competitor is find a way to turn that around. On the other sideline, same thing's going to be happening with Demaryius Randall. There's a lot on the line for him too, trying to turn his fortunes around a little bit.
So absolutely,
that give and take is going to be probably one of the big battles to find and really follow throughout the course of this game.
Yeah, and I think it's natural for some of the fans when they see the highlights and what's going on with Beckham and his emotions on the sidelines and whatnot, there's a natural tendency to think, oh, you just have to get into this guy's head and you can take him out of the game. That's really not how it works, at least in my opinion. The Vikings didn't win the battle against Odell Beckham by getting into his head. They got into his head because they were winning the battle, because they were shutting him down. If you can take this guy out of the game statistically, or at least limit him statistically, then maybe he takes himself out of the game mentally. But that's his issue. You're not going to be able to do that if you don't stop him from catching passes.
And the same rule applies going back to Washington. It's not that anybody on Washington's sideline was saying anything. They really had a hard time stopping him in seven catches for 121 yards. But it came down to the end in being able to make the big play.
Right.
And then that's where all these highlights and things you've seen on all the TV shows sort of develop and go viral. So that's the biggest thing, is when you face a talent like Beckham, you have to shut him down. And as we talked about on our show yesterday, there's a three-headed monster there with Victor Cruz back and healthy, and you have Sterling as well coming into this thing. a lot of talented guys, and it's going to be on the Packers' defense, not necessarily to be caring about what they said or what was going on during the week, but on Sunday, finding a way to stop them.
Yeah, and it sounds like the Giants will be down perhaps their top tight end, Larry Donnell.
Right.
He suffered, as far as we can tell, a concussion against Minnesota on Monday night. Probably going to be pretty tough for him to be back and ready to go on Sunday. But they have another young tight end. I believe the last name is Ty.
Will Ty.
Yeah, Will Ty. He made, for as much as their offense was struggling against Minnesota's defense, he made a couple of plays down the field against the Vikings and was able to move the chains a couple of times. Don't sleep on this guy either.
Not at all. I mean, I wrote a story this past offseason about, you know, people talking about Richard Rodgers and how long it takes to develop a tight end. I mean, Ty last year as an undrafted rookie out of Stony Brook led all rookie tight ends with 42 catches for 464 yards, and including a 45-yard completion for a season long. So he found ways to be active in this defense when Larry Donnell was dealing with some of those neck issues and injuries coming off of that. So this is a guy that knows how to play, and he has already developed a rapport with Eli Manning. And really, he's sort of been that safety valve when maybe you can't get it to the other three downfield threats. This is a guy that could help you move the sticks.
Yeah, for sure. Well, plenty more to talk about with this Giants-Packers matchup coming up. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, staying with the tight end position where we left off last segment, you flip your attentions to the Packers. Jared Cook probably out for a while. We don't know exactly how long, but doesn't look like he'll be available to play this week, which throws Richard Rodgers, the third-year tight end, back into the spotlight, much like he was last season after Andrew Corliss went down for the Packers. So not exactly new territory for Richard Rodgers, but there's going to be a lot put on this young guy to help this offense produce.
Yeah, no question. I mean, he pretty much was doing about a 50-50 split with Jared Cook, but the packages in which they were being used were just so much different. So I don't know if necessarily there's one way to replace a guy like Cook in terms of his body type, the way he can stress a defense. And Richard Rodgers, one of the things, you know, if you ever talk to Richard Rodgers, he's one of the most even keel guys you're ever going to meet in your life.
Yeah.
And he said, I mean, I'm not Jared Cook. I'm not going to be able to, you know, he lost some weight in the offseason, but it's not that he's just going to be able to go run a 4.3 now or something.
Yeah.
He's going to do what he does best. That's catch the ball, find separation, and really be an impact in this offense. And I was asking Jordy Nelson about this on Wednesday, and I thought his answer was so interesting when he said, you know, the comfort level with Rodgers in this offense is huge. And he thinks that, you know, people really haven't given him enough credit for what he has done, considering yeah. all the responsibilities the Packers put on their tight ends, blocking, protection, route running. It's a lot of challenges and a lot of things they have to learn. He came in, played that role right away. Last year, played over 800 snaps. And if the Packers need to go that direction again, he's definitely not shy from being in that spotlight.
Yeah, eight touchdown catches last season, right. I believe, which tied for the team high. So this is a young guy who has produced, and I think more than anything, he's earned the respect of his teammates, earned the respect of those other guys in the offensive huddle a lot, because not only because of his smarts, because he certainly understands the offense and knows what to do, but also because of his hands. He has the trust of Aaron Rodgers, because when the ball comes his way, he catches it.
He does, and I think he has, and Devontae Adams, who trained with him in California this offseason, talked about this too. He thinks that has made a difference. You know, he shed about 15 to 20 pounds. He's in that 255 range. If you look at him, he looks physically leaner in his torso.
Yeah, I would agree.
And he thinks that's something that's made a difference for him, Adams said. And there's one play, it just stands out to me, that play in Jacksonville where he's always had the hands, but being able to really extend. There was that one play right across the sideline for 22 yards at a pretty crucial part in the game.
Yeah.
Being able
yeah.
to haul that in. He knew his footwork to be able to get his feet in. That's the key, is that I think everybody knows what he can do and how he can catch a football. It's just about getting those extended yardage plays now, the yards after catch, or just being able to get open in the middle of the field. That was the next step for him, in addition to some of the blocking assignments. And the Packers, they have confidence in the young man, along with Justin Perillo. Aaron Rodgers was very quick to credit Perillo for a third-year tight end now for how he's come along in this offense. So the Packers aren't making any major adjustments. They're just running with those two guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, Perillo is another guy who will certainly get more snaps and more opportunities now. Mike McCarthy told reporters that at this point there aren't any plans to add another tight end to the active roster. They're going with Richard Rodgers and Justin Perillo here until Jared Cook can come back. And we saw in the second half of the Detroit game, Justin Perillo caught a pass, moved the chains there early in the third quarter on a scoring drive. And again, much like with Richard Rodgers, we talked all through training camp about Justin Perillo, how he just seems to catch everything.
His
hands are incredibly reliable.
Well, Matt Haberkamp in our digital department here, everybody calls him JP Money Hands is the line that has kind of developed. Aaron Rodgers also joked about this a little bit too, saying that Corey Linsley, who's a close friend of Perillo, also telling him, all the time he's in his ear saying he catches everything.
Yeah.
So that's critical, though. I mean, it is. When you're going to tight ends in the middle of the field, sometimes in precarious situations, you need to be able to bring in the football. And those two guys have certainly been able to do that. They're young. They're trying to expand their game. But the foundation's there for them to make an impact in this offense. And with Perillo, I mean, this is a guy you talk about, an undrafted free agent out of Maine in 2014. Did not make the active roster the first 2 years coming out of training camp.
Right.
This year, finally, the third time was the charm, and now he's been off and running. And the Packers could be looking towards him if they want to continue a lot of these two tight end packages that we've seen these first three regular season games.
Yeah, can be tight coverage over the middle, some tight throws for the quarterback. He has to be able to trust that those guys are going to come down with it. So we'll talk some more about this Packers-Giants matchup after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, the story on the sidelines, I guess you might say, for this game is Ben McAdoo,
right,
former Packers assistant coach, very much a protege of Mike McCarthy's, coming up through the coaching ranks, is now the head coach of the New York Giants. The second time now that an assistant coach of McCarthy's will go head-to-head with the Packers, Joe Philbin with the Dolphins a couple of years ago being the other one. And you can definitely sense the respect that Mike McCarthy has for Ben McAdoo. He viewed him as a rising star in the coaching ranks when he was here, and he's always respected McAdoo for the way he climbed the coaching ladder. He started at the bottom as a quality control guy, just like Mike McCarthy did back in Kansas City. These are two coaches who really followed rather similar paths.
They did, Mike. And that's the thing, too, with that I really respect about McAdoo. And you heard everybody to a man talk about this. He did every job along the way. I mean, he came to Green Bay after being a quality control guy. McCarthy followed McCarthy from New Orleans to San Francisco to here. Tight ends coach. Went on to become the quarterback's coach with Aaron Rodgers. And as McCarthy said to you, I believe it was your question, that was really the point where it was like, yeah, this guy has what it takes. Certainly was extremely knowledgeable. Anybody that you talk to will talk about how intelligent he is. But being able to put that all together, went off to New York, had the year there with Eli Manning, and then obviously was given the head job. So a really, really great coach, and you know, I could go on forever too, talking about the type of human being he is. He's one of the good guys. So
yeah,
certainly it's been well deserving.
Yeah, definitely one of the good guys in this business, and it was entertaining talking to Coach McAdoo on the phone, the conference call with the Green Bay media on Wednesday, because he was asked about, you know, starting at the bottom with those quality control jobs, which he did at two other NFL cities. And he did some rather low level menial, you might say, coaching jobs in the college ranks as well before he got to the NFL, and he was talking about those and saying, you know, hey, the amount of work that you have to do, you've got to grind through it, you've got to plow through it. Nobody cares whether you're sleeping on your desk or under your desk. Nobody cares how tired you are. He says, some of those jobs, I thought they were trying to kill me. He said, but the reward was worth it in the end. And if there's one thing you would say about Ben McAdoo, it's that he's a grinder and a hard worker. And you could even hear it in his voice coming out. You know, they've got the short week with coming off the Monday night loss and everything, and now getting ready to travel to come to Lambeau Field. He's all business. He's focused on his work, and that's just that's how he's gotten to where he is.
Yeah, one of the, and I've known a lot of the stories about Ben for some time, but there was a couple things that Mike McCarthy was asked about going back to the owners' meeting earlier this year, when, you know, a lot of the New York outlets were asking him about Ben. And
sure,
one of the stories that he told I thought was really interesting was just how he first got in the door. And, you know, just the, I think it was just some calls and some emails that he just was reaching out, asking McCarthy, you know, any kind of opportunity, just looking for a shot to come in the door. And I believe, and I don't want to mess up the story, but I believe he brought him in, basically put him on the board and kind of saw the beautiful mind that's there, and how much it really meant to him to do this job. So certainly now he's bringing that over to the New York Giants. Aaron Rodgers talked about it too, about how you look at their system and how they run things. There's a lot of similarities to what the Packers do. Rodgers was saying that could go really two ways, because obviously they have an idea of what he's doing, but at the same time, the Packers defense is well-versed in competing against that offense too. So it's going to be a great chess match, and seeing that mentor and protege kind of battle, those always make for some exciting matchups.
Yeah, and McAdoo definitely downplaying the whole potential advantage, or whatever you want to call it, of his knowledge of McCarthy's system and his you know, close working knowledge of Aaron Rodgers and everything. He's flat out said, well, I'm not counting on that for much. You know, you talk to these coaches, they know it still comes down to the execution between the white lines. And you know, as you say, there are similarities in these offensive systems. There are going to be some things where the other team knows what's being run, but still, you still got to play. You've got to execute. You've either got to make the play, or you've got to stop it if you're on the other side. And that's what Sunday night is going to come down to. These other things are fun storylines to talk about, but how much Mike McCarthy knows about Ben McAdoo and vice versa is not what's going to decide the game on Sunday night.
No, not at all, Mike. And one more story, if you don't mind, I can just tell.
Okay.
My old sports editor, Mike Vandermoss, when he left the newspaper industry, went off, wrote a nice long story, you know, 33 years in the business. Ben McAdoo, who was the offensive coordinator at the time, the New York Giants, wasn't even in Green Bay, sent Mike an email congratulating him on his run. I don't even know how Ben knew about it.
Wow.
But I mean, that's just the kind of guy he was. He had a huge attention to detail. I had some great conversations with him at the Brown County Arena while we were waiting for Sesame Street live with him and his child and me and my nephew. So I mean, just he's one of the most down-to-earth human beings you're ever going to meet, and as we talked about too, a heck of a football coach. So yeah, it'll be nice to see him back here.
Yeah, and aside from Sunday night, Packers fans should root for this guy. He's definitely a good guy to root for. So well, before we go to break, we'll take care of a little sponsor business. Wes, picture this: you and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 12th by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/best seats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, final segment quickly. Let's talk about a key or keys to the game. We'll have some more time in our final show of the week as we preview Packers-Giants. But if you were to maybe talk about one thing quickly that you see as an important matchup in this game on Sunday night, what do you say?
A question came in this week, Michael, to our insider inbox.
Okay.
And that question was, hey, with the Packers, you know, being able to pass rush and being able to stop the run, is there any concern about ever being too one-dimensional, that people are just going to threaten the pass too much? I don't believe in such thing. I think that that's a key ingredient to this whole puzzle. The Packers have been able to accomplish two of the three things they want to seek out to accomplish in this offense or this defense: stopping the run, pressuring the quarterback, and then obviously turning the ball over. They're working on the turnover thing. But top ranked right now on a historic pace as far as this start. Now you look at the Giants, they're on, I believe, their third string running back now with Orleans Dakwa.
Yeah.
So this is a big key for them. If you can continue to do that, it's kind of what the prototype was for the Vikings in that game. Stop the run, force Eli in the pocket to get the ball out quickly. That's, I think, going to be the biggest key to this thing.
Yeah, and I say as kind of the follow-up to that, what we've talked about for the last couple of weeks as far as the bugaboo with this Packers defense has been allowing the big plays in the passing game, and they have to cut down on that. You mentioned, you know, Demarius Randall looking to bounce back. These Giants receivers are big play guys.
Yeah.
And it's not just the deep throws down the field either. It can be get the ball out quickly and then they start making guys miss and breaking tackles and suddenly they have a 20 or 30 yard gain. And that's in my opinion, that's where the Packers really have to cut down. I think you can win this game. I think you can beat the Giants and beat Eli Manning without forcing a bunch of turnovers. But I don't think you can beat them if they're going to take big chunks of yardage down the field. And that's where the Packers have to shore things up.
I agree. I think this is going to be a game where you're probably going to see, I mean, obviously Weston Hodkowitz, who's been a former youth football coach, really smart and intelligent. But I think this could definitely be a game where you see a lot of the sub packages, a lot of the two shell, like two deep safety looks, giving both sides help there. Especially if you get Morgan Burnett back and can function in that way and use Micah Hyde strictly in the slot, I think that'll really deepen out this defense. But really, yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is being able to stop the pass because they've seen what we can already do against the run. Now it's a question about whether or not when they try to go deep, if you can find ways to really turn the ball over and stop them and get some deflections.
Yeah, and I think quickly for the Packers offensively, not to be one-dimensional, to find that balance that you had between run and pass against the Lions. When you need Eddie Lacy to grind out some yards and move the chains, you can count on that. And the Giants are no slouch against the run.
No, that's a tough front to run against, especially with Harrison in the middle. So that's going to be the biggest key is establishing that early and often. Lacy's looked really good so far, so if he can build upon that, I think that's going to be a really nice setup for this offense.
Yeah, well, lots of other keys to the game we can talk about in our final show of the week, but we're going to call that a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.